Welcome to the Special Olympics Wisconsin Athlete Voice Podcast. We are so thrilled today because we have not just one, but we have two special guests joining us for a really fantastic conversation. And I'm really excited to introduce my partner in crime here, my co-host, Ed Castern. Ed, how's it going today?
It could be going a little bit better. I'm doing this with a double ear infection, I think.
Well, you know, this is why you're brave and you can even do podcasts when you're feeling a little under the weather, right, my friend?
Yeah, but I think it's the oath that says, let me win if I cannot win. Let me be brave in the attempt. Sometimes when you do stuff, you have to be really brave and really courageous.
Yes.
And so we're being courageous today.
We are. And Ed, a couple of courageous folks that we are friends with who are joining us today are just awesome. And I know you're very excited to introduce them.
Well, not to throw Addie under the bus or anything, but one of my best coworker friends, Brittany Hoyt, and then Stacy.
And so Brittany and Stacy, please, maybe Brittany, if you could get started and just introduce yourself and let us know what is your role in the Special Olympics Wisconsin movement?
Yeah, I am the Senior Director of Health Programs. I've been on staff, it'll be 10 years this year, which seems crazy, but I oversee all of our health programming. So we'll talk a lot on healthy athletes today, but we also have fitness, training healthcare professionals, athlete leadership opportunities. So I oversee our whole health team and all the programs that we run.
And Miss Stacy, you are a constant face and figure at many of our events and many of our dental clinics, but please tell our audience who you are and what your connection is to the movement.
My name is Stacy Rudolph, and I am a clinical director for Special Smiles. I am a dental hygienist by training, but I don't practice clinically. I work on the advocacy side, and I'm also a parent to a 14-year-old with Down syndrome. So that's how I originally got started with Special Olympics, is because she's been my inspiration. So I'm so happy to have become a part of this great organization.
And Stacy, could you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I know when I heard the story about your daughter and how her experience in the healthcare setting had such an impact on you, and it literally changed the trajectory of how you focus your entire life and career now. I mean, give us a little bit of flavor of what that experience was like.
Yeah. So I was not in dental. I found dental after my daughter, at the time she was 3 and we were living in Washington State. And I took her in for her first exam, right? And I just thought that we actually even went to a clinic that was advertised as a clinic that was sensitive to patients with special healthcare needs. And when she went in for her first exam with this dental hygienist, the hygienist, she just flat out said, I don't feel comfortable seeing your daughter. So we're just going to wait for the dentist. And at the time, I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe that's how it is. Like, Peyton was our first child, and, you know, we had another baby at the time, but I didn't know what it was like to be an advocate or work with providers or anything on, you know, I didn't know that I would have to fight. And then when I decided that I wanted to switch careers, because my degree is actually in psychology, and I decided that I wanted to switch careers, I was thinking, what I'd really like to do is to go back to school for dental hygiene, and I would like to specifically see patients with intellectual disabilities and help to like close this gap in provider knowledge. So like I said, we were living in Washington State. I was enrolled in the, Lake Washington Tech to go to school there. And then unfortunately, my mother-in-law was diagnosed with cancer. So we moved from Washington State back to Wisconsin, took a little bit of time to spend her last few months with her. And then I re-enrolled and I got into school at Waukesha County Tech. And throughout my entire schooling there, I focused all of my patient care on patients with special healthcare needs, despite the fact that we actually didn't have the requirements at the time for that. And I had every intention of creating a mobile preventative care unit that was going to go into like resident facilities and things. But unfortunately, I was the graduating class of 2020. So COVID shut down my program. I didn't graduate. It took me another year and a half to be graduated and licensed. And the preventative, the mobile unit fell to the wayside. But actually, that's how I got involved with Special Olympics. As Special Olympics started reopening their Special Smiles events, I started volunteering there. And then once I did graduate and get licensed, I did the extra training to become a clinical director. So there you go. That's it in a nutshell and how I'm here.
And Brittany, could you give us the through line? So obviously, Stacy found us because of her daughter, because of her passion, and the life changes she made from her work. It's truly the epitome of turning a painful situation into something of purpose, which is incredible. But as an entire Global Special Olympics movement, we've had these programs, and now this is just an amplified partnership. So could you explain that through line for our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. Special Olympics started health programming with healthy athletes, the free health screenings, and there's actually now 9 different disciplines. So oral health is just one of them. But we really found through those screenings that, you know, the screenings are great, obviously, for the athletes, but they're so impactful for the volunteers that are there, getting that hands-on experience with this population that not everybody gets to see often. Or when they do, they might be uncomfortable or don't have a lot of experience or knowledge in that area. So Special Olympics Inc. or International said, you know what, we really should be going to these healthcare professionals and students and training them on how to work with people with ID. Because really, if you can work with someone with ID, you can work with anybody. And so we're going into Waukesha County Tech and dental hygiene schools and dental schools. Marquette's a big one for us. And really every discipline, not just oral health, but we're going to them and training on how to better serve this community. And hopefully they'll come and get that hands-on experience at one of our events.
And Ed, you yourself have experienced, you know, just different things getting caught at one of these screenings and then getting that extra help and placement with one of our dental partners. Can you talk about your story a little bit, Ed?
My story, it goes back to maybe 3-4 years ago. I was chewing on Taco Bell one night, and all of a sudden I heard a crack, and I was in a lot of pain, and my tooth was hurting. But apparently at the time, I didn't know this prior to, but I had like a double abscess, maybe 3 abscesses in my mouth. And one thing I want to tell listeners too is sometimes when you do medical procedures and things, your insurance doesn't always accept certain things, and that can be a real struggle, because I call partnership and they're like, well, we're going to have to put you down as a new patient. I said, no, I need to get in now. I can't wait for 3 to 6 months to... And Stacy, did you ever find that with your daughter, like when you went to that first dental appointment and you maybe wanted to find a different provider, or did you ever run into a struggle like that?
Well, so I didn't run into a struggle with insurance because she's still a minor and on our private insurance. But the one thing that I do experience with her is that what for maybe a neurotypical patient, one thing that is just a single appointment for Peyton can be 2, 3, 4 appointments, sometimes with specialists. Like she just had 2 impacted teeth that had to be extracted, but her regular pediatric dentist didn't feel comfortable extracting them in case there was an anesthesia emergency and she wasn't equipped for that. So now this appointment that was discovered during a preventative appointment, we had a clinical exam. Now it's been referred to an oral surgeon that then took 2 more appointments before the extractions happened. But if that were me, it would have happened right then and there in the office in the first place, right? So everything, that's what I talk about when we're talking to some of these future dental providers, like students and things, is like, you have to be very sensitive to the fact that a lot of the patients that you see and their caregivers, they're dealing with these obstacles for every part of their body, right? So like whatever we can do to help alleviate some of those barriers on the dental side, like it's our duty to do that, because they, you know, so many people are going through all of these steps for your eyes, for your ears, for your, you know, it's not just your teeth. So
when I was in so much pain for 2 years, I never even told my partner because I was so embarrassed. I'm like, I don't want to tell her, but you got to, right? You got to tell somebody, because if you don't tell anybody, and people, Brittany, I'm going to refer to you back on this question. We have some nonverbal people too that have trouble communicating or have trouble communicating with caregivers, and they don't know how to express or how to get out how they feel. They might feel uncomfortable with their caregiver. So what kind of suggestions, Brittany and Stacey, would you give them so they feel more comfortable in a situation like that? Like if maybe, because maybe they don't have family that they trust.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. I mean, that's a topic we cover in our inclusive health training with healthcare providers and students, is that oftentimes this population either doesn't feel comfortable saying something. Maybe they don't even know the pain that they have is a problem, right? They just think, oh, I'm just in pain and I have to deal with it. Or maybe if they do say something, they might not be believed or seem, you know, as a credible reporter. So there's a lot of different barriers to just getting the care.
Or they think that this person is acting, oh, he might be having a behavior and it might be mistaken for something.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that right there, that's the provider's issue that we need to help them overcome, that kind of attitude towards their clients and towards the people that they're working with. Right. So to help inform people about how the different types of communication and the devices that you need to have to be able to communicate with everybody at their level.
It's really like asking the right questions, right? There's no like one size fits all. A standard case walking through your door may not be a standard case. So you really have to dig a little deeper and get to the bottom of the problem.
And Stacey, this is meaningful work. This is rewarding work. I mean, I help the listeners understand, or, you know, especially folks out there who maybe they're in school right now, maybe they have aspirations, or somebody they love has aspirations to become a hygienist or a dentist, an oral healthcare worker. This is work that really fills your soul beyond just the day-to-day, you know, employment. Can you describe that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. It is, right? It fills your bucket, as it were, right? A big barrier, like Ed was saying, is dealing with insurance, right? So unfortunately, while I can say that this kind of work is emotionally rewarding, it's not financially rewarding, which is probably the biggest reason why we have such a struggle finding providers that are willing to go in and do this work, right? So that's why right now, you know, rather, because we're trying to do big sort of systemic changes, right? Policy changes, lawmaking sorts of things. But so any sort of provider who wants to even just like dip their toe into this kind of work, that's why, you know, programs such as like Special Smiles is such a great opportunity to do that you can dedicate one Saturday, you know, to come and volunteer to do screenings or things like that. Or if you are working in a private office, see a single patient. Maybe you may not be a Medicaid provider. Maybe you're willing to do it pro bono. It's a long road, I think, for finding the health equity for people with IDD, because there are so many, so they're not even just obstacles. They are big, giant brick walls that are preventing people from getting care. And the reimbursement rate is not going to make anything better, right? Until that gets increased. So that is a bigger topic, right?
And so if you don't mind, I'd like to go back to my story a little bit and give an example. Like you said, Stacey, like, you know, Medicare and Medicaid can become a barrier. I talk to a lot of providers and they say, well, we don't want to do the paperwork for Medicare and Medicaid. So a lot of them don't want to do it because they don't think it's worth it, because the reimbursement from the state is so little. And that's why they don't want to do it.
Yes, absolutely. I think right now it's like 60 cents on the dollar, right? Like it's, you know, it's tough, especially for a lot of dental practitioners because they are practice owners as well, right? So they're a healthcare provider, but they're also a business person. And most dental students come out of school $500,000 in debt, right? They're starting their careers at that level. And it's not to say that it's an excuse to completely neglect an entire population of people, but it's a realistic issue that, you know, that's preventing them from doing this. So that's, yes, it adds another layer of complexity to all
and
of
then it. And then we talk about providers that, you know, only certain providers can do. I had to go way to Madison for my surgery because Dr. Tammy couldn't pull my abscess and stuff.
Sure.
But Dr. Rob would you call him a clinical director or just a dental person? Because he's phenomenal too. And if I ever had to go to another doctor and Dr. Tammy wasn't available, I'd be like, Dr. Rob, I got Dr. Rob on speed dial. He's in my cell phone actually. And
that's it. Right. Yeah. But the fact that you have to travel across the state to go.
But
find
I don't
a
care
provider.
Because you know what? I know that I'm going to get taken. Now I know I'm going to get taken care of and I'm not afraid to go to the dentist. Yeah. I'm not afraid to go to the dentist. Right. Some people fear about going to the dentist because especially people with special needs because they don't know how they're going to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brittany, can you elaborate on that? Because I think that's one of the beauties why we offer these different health programs at our state games events in particular, because athletes are there with their friends and their families. They're there to compete. They're super excited that they've made it to the state game level. And then, you know, they get to have their eyes, ears, hearing checked right there in an environment where it's comfortable. Can you elaborate on that, Brittany?
Yeah, I mean, you just said it, right? It's in a space that they're comfortable. It's a space that they're already at. Ed kind of alluded to it, but transportation is a big barrier for our athletes. You know, it's one thing to have someone that you can go to receive care and have that support, but how do you get there? And if you can't get there, then how do you get the care? So having these screenings at our events is huge. And then, you know, following up with athletes, if there is something that was kind of caught that there's a referral need, to making sure that they can get the care locally, is another kind of step in the whole process. All of these barriers too, I'll just add, are just that they're barriers for them to receive the quality care. We see a lot of, and they lead to the health disparities that we see, right? This population, unfortunately, has a higher risk of hypertension, diabetes. I mean, you name everything pretty much. And it's not because they have an intellectual disability that all of these disparities exist. It's because of all these barriers that we're talking about. So if we can try our best to remove some of those barriers or at least make them not as strong of a brick wall and make them maybe a lower fence they can jump over, all the better. So it's one of those little by little chip away at the problem and hopefully some big change can come from it.
And we're always asking for help. We're always asking for volunteers at our events. What is one way, Brittany, that people can help this specific health effort if they feel a passion for it?
Yeah, I mean, there's many ways. I would say the quick and easy way is to sign up to be a Healthy Athletes volunteer. We have, we offer 8 different disciplines. We've talked a lot on oral health with our special smiles, but there's opening eyes, healthy hearing, fit feet, fun fitness, which is a PT screening, health promotion, which is kind of our catch-all everything screening, strong minds on emotional wellness, and MedFest, which is our athlete physical. So there's really, I always say head, shoulders, knees, and toes. There's everything under the sun to get involved in. And I swear once you come once, you'll get hooked, you'll be back. And there's plenty of other ways to get involved on a deeper level too, if that's of interest. But the quick and easy way is just to come to an event and just get started.
Well, Ed, we're sure grateful that we have people like Brittany and Stacy advocating for the athletes, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And just let me give a shout out to like new clinical directors. Don't be afraid. Like Brittany said, come to an event. Like if you're a dentist out there that wants to volunteer or doctor, don't be afraid because you might never work with somebody with special needs before, but you're never going to know unless you try. Like us athletes, we out there, we compete. We never know unless we try. Well, guess what? You never know unless you try too. So unless you try out and get out of your comfort zone, you're never going to know, and you're never going to experience it. So please come and experience it, because it's life changing.
That's right. Well, Brittany and Stacy, we are incredibly grateful for the work that you do. I know the entire state of Wisconsin is incredibly grateful. And for those listening, if there was something that triggered you today, or you're feeling a passion for wanting to contribute to some of these healthcare disparities that our athletes are experiencing, please reach out to us. Check us out on our website, SpecialOlympicsWisconsin.org, and we will help connect you to where you can give us some help. Thank you so much for listening to this incredibly important message today.